Of course, there is a difference between the way a chassid and a misnagid approaches the month of Adar, the shitasam, how you approach a lot of things in the world. But when Chazal tell us, so someone who has a real full-fledged chassid or other kinds of interesting branches of chassidus that have opened up, or whatever you want to call them, so a person who has that kind of a personality, that kind of a mahalach in life, so he sees mishnichas adamar b'simcha, wow, simcha, he's got tishas going, he's got dancing going, he's got all kind of, you know, maybe other things going that shouldn't be going, whatever different things that he associates in the world of simcha. When a misnagit sees that mishnah, mishnichas adamar b'simcha, he says, oh, there's a mitzvah hayoy, it's a mitzvah chodesh called simcha. So we have to analyze it. Is it a din simcha? What's the nature of simcha? What are the parameters of simcha? Are there one din of simcha, the two din of simcha, the three din of simcha? What's the very essence of simcha? So no different than you analyze others. Man hayoyim. Is the kedushas hayoyim? So you have to analyze. What's the mahos of the kedushas hayoyim? So what's the mahos? What's the gather a din of mishnichas adam arab simcha? So you could probably guess which dimension we're going to go down, but we're going to try to do a little bit of both. We'll try to be fair to everybody. I try to be true to my biological roots, which are more from the Chassidish world, to combine together with my educational roots, which are more the Limpish world. But we'll try it as best as we can to try to explain a little bit of what exactly is supposed to incumbe upon us, particularly at this time we're about to embark upon Mishnichas Adamar B'Simcha. One could have argued that we've already embarked on this already a month ago. If you hold that other Rishon also has a din of Mishnichas Adamar B'Simcha, that's the Simcha. MTA was very machmir in this, right? So it seems to be a machlekes every shem about this. So we're going to go down the mekilim. That's what we didn't talk about it for the last one. Okay. Suffix simcha, lekula, lechumra, depending on whether you're chassid or misnag. Okay, good. With the whole mishnechis adamar b'simcha, if you're a misnag, so it's a heter. It's not just for a chassid, the starting point is he's b'simcha all year long. Shenam nechis adamar b'simcha, if you're more mar b'simcha. For misnag, so it's got to be, you've got to find a reason to be not that it didn't simcha. Okay, just kidding. Back to the story. So yes, it's true that we find, even in real, old-style Torah sources, about the significance of simcha as part of our emotion, as part of our feeling in Avodas Hashem. We find psukim that speak pretty clearly about this in the Chumash, in the Nevi'im, Tehillim, about psukim that range from Tachas Hashem Levarat, Hashem Lekech B'Simcha V'Tuv Leivav. We speak about the importance of psukim and tehillim. If there's Hashem b'simcha, b'lefan b'nana, psukim speak very much about the significance of simcha as being an integral part of avodas Hashem. The Gemara even speaks about the Rambam elaborates upon this. He said the Torah about when a person wants to even reach, in a certain sense, the highest level of avodas Hashem, the level of ruach hakodesh, the level of nevuah. So ein hashchina shor ela mitach simcha. That's what the psukim and sefer Malachim describe. That in the days of Elisha, so he was trying to get a nevuah. And the only way for him to get the Nebuah is Kechuli Menagin. He had to find someone to sing a niggin, to play a niggin for him, in order to get to that state of being B'Simcha. B'Simcha is definitely a prerequisite for Avodas Hashem. So there's no question that, in very general terms, we find that Simcha plays a major component in Avodas Hashem, but we find it almost in a very specific way as well. And I think if we had to break up the Shia about Avodas Hashem, I think we really have to divide up Avodas Hashem into three different categories. There are fundamentally three different goals that each and every one of us hopefully has during our lives. Three things that we're trying to accomplish. There are three different areas of Avodas Hashem. The three areas are already described to us very clearly in the very beginnings of Pirkei Avos, when the Mishnah speaks about Al Shlosh Advam Olam Oimed, when the three things that the world stands upon. So the world doesn't only refer to the general world, but it's the world of each individual, Mishfilin Ivar Olam. Each person is a world in and of themselves. There are really three pillars of that ultimately each person stands upon, and those are the pillars of Torah, Aveda, and Gemilas Chasadim. So when we speak about Torah, so Torah refers to Limud HaTorah, Aveda refers to Mitzvahs, we'll see in a moment, but Torah refers primarily to Talmud Torah, to the pillar number one in terms of what the entire existence of a person revolves around, the centrality, the significance of Limud HaTorah. If a person takes the approach in Avodas Hashem that he's a mitzvah person, he's a chesed person, those are very beautiful, wonderful things, but if Talmud Torah doesn't play an integral part of his life, so then he's missing one out of the three. It's going to be very, very hard for his Avodas Hashem to stand. So Talmud Torah is clearly an important component, a key component in an overall Avodas Hashem. When it comes to Talmud Torah, so we find many places where Chazal speak about the significance of Talmud Torah be done, particularly mitach simcha b'tiv leivav, that the learning experience is supposed to be a joyful experience. This idea, although it appears in many, many places in Pesukim, But perhaps the most famous, presentation of this idea appears in a Sefer Hakdama, Sefer Eglei Tal. Eglei Tal was a good bridge between the Litvish world, the Chassidish world. He was a Chassidish Rebbe, the Sakachev Rebbe. On the other hand, he wrote a classic Torah work in terms of real heavy-duty lumdas, in terms of Bechor Shabbos. Those who were with us back when we learned Masech Shabbos, so we spent many days, many shiur revolve around many of the chedushim of the Eglei Tal. Some of the basic ABCs of the lumdas of Bechor Shabbos come from the Sefer Eglei Tal. So in the introduction to the Sefer Eglei Tal, so he raises, almost throws out a question to people. He says that, what would you think about the following two individuals? You have one person who's really staggering away, learning up a storm, and he's miserable. The Mamish can't stand it. But he comes to Seder at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he comes to Shir at 1:15, and he sits and he pays attention, and he has kashas, and he steruts him, and he really gets chazas for Bechina, and he gets 100 every Bechina, he gets extra credit. He's Mamish, the guy's Mamish learning Yom Valayla, but he's miserable. He can't stand it. He can't wait for the day that he can stop learning. That's one kind of a person. And you have another person who's learning, also learning Basmada. But this guy is just having the time of his life. You look at him, he can't control his excitement. He jumps up and down, he runs around, he draws, things on the board. He can't control himself. He's so excited to play another Rav, another Rav, another Rosh, another Taisus. He gets his absolute, Mamish gets his thrills from talking about the latest Mechaz Chinuch. Unbelievable. So we would stop and ask. So I'm not going to ask which one of these is in a better position emotionally, but I'm going to ask this Eglei Tal, which person is a greater Isaac Matera Lishma? Who's the greater Lor Matera Lishma? The guy who comes in and doesn't waste a second even though he's miserable, or the person who just can't stop having a good time? So most people would probably say that the guy who's miserable is the greater Isaac Matera Lishma, because the guy's having a good time, he's a great Isaac Matera, he's a great Tamar Chochem. He's not Lishma. How can you call him Lishma? He's enjoying himself too much. Doesn't Lishma have the connotation that you're doing a just Hashem mitzvah with no personal atiyas, no personal gains whatsoever? So the Eglei Tal says that answer could not be further from the truth. Says the Eglei Tal, he says the very essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is that component of enjoying Torah. Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just the learning of Torah, but the osik b'Torah mitoch simcha, mitoch ahava, that is hi gufa, that is the etzem kim of Talmud Torah. So the person who is learning Torah with a lot of serious nefesh against his will, and he really is not happy with what he's doing, so at the end of the day he's learning the Torah, but he is not fulfilling Torah Lishma. That is not the highest level of limited Torah at all. Halavai, you should reach the point where he enjoys it. The person who's enjoying it, that's part and parcel of the etzem mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself. This theme is full. You take a look at Tehillim Kuf Yutes, and you read almost every other pasuk talks about Torah being my joy, and Torah being my delight, and Torah being my joy, and Torah being my simcha, and Torah being and Sasa Nechelim Rasechem at the Shalom Rav, and Tevi Torah Spich Rav Yisrael Chesef. David HaMelech is not exactly describing himself as someone who's miserable to come to Seder. He's describing someone who can't wait for every shtickle turns his way. So that's exactly the goal. So the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, part of the mitzvah is the Simchas Aleiv. To put it into Lamdish terms, Simcha is not something which is external to Talmud Torah, but it's part of the Etzem HaMitzvah. It's an internal kiyum of the mitzvah proper. It's most probably, this is the Kavan of Chazal, when they instituted the Nusach of Bracha Brichas HaTorah. There's Chalekis and Rishonim, whether the institution of Brichas HaTorah itself is a mitzvah min HaTorah, or whether it's only a mitzvah min Derabbanan. But everyone agrees the Nusach that we recite is a Nusach min Derabbanan. So the Chacham instituted two different Nuschaos of Brichas HaTorah. One is the regular nusach, we say in the morning, before you start davening, before you start learning. So you say the two or three brachas, Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah, it's not the Harim, Asher Bachabano. The reason why I said two or three, because it's the Machalik Zivishan, whether it's two or three, but whether the Harim and Asher Kiddushan was one bracha, two brachas. And then there's the other kind of Birch Zatara, for a person who, for whatever reason, didn't say Birch Zatara in the morning, so can rely on Avara, or Maiv can rely on Avas Olam, for Birch Zatara. That also serves as a Birch Zatara. So you look at both of the Nusach of Birchas HaTorah, both in the morning, and the Birchas HaTorah of Abba Rabba, so they're both very, very strange. Because I understand, let's go to the Bracha in the morning for a second. So Asher Kiddushan HaMitzvah, and Al-Asak HaMitzvah, that I understand full well. That's a Bracha of Birchas HaMitzvah. That's like any other Birchas HaMitzvah. Asher Kiddushan HaMitzvah, Tefillin, Leishim Besuch, Leishim Mokho Shofa, Mikro Megillah. That is all the makings of a regular Birchas HaMitzvah. And even the bracha shebach arbanu, it's not quite a birchas mitzvah, but it's a birchas shevach. It's like any other Birchas Shevach. Like we praise the Kaddish Baruch Hu for the wonderful institution of Talmud Torah. So I understand why we make a combination of brachas in the morning. We say Asher Kiddushanu, we say Asher Bachavanu, because we're almost highlighting the fact that Talmud Torah is both a mitzvah as well as a great thing. There are certain things that we involve ourselves in life that are both mitzvahs and are wonderful things, and we're not even quite sure whether the brachas that we're reciting are mitzvahs or shevach. So the Moshe, you have brachas erusin before you get married, so you make a bracha. So according to the Rambam, it's a brachas a mitzvah. According to the Rosh, it's a brachas a shevach. So it could be it's almost a combination of both, because marriage is a great marriage is a mitzvah according to the Rambam, and marriage is highly recommended according to the Rosh. It's highly recommended according to the Rambam also, but the Rosh is highly recommending it as a brachas a shevach. So you have a lot of things like that. So you have bracha and bris milah. So it's a brachas a mitzvah, ala milah, and then lachnisa b'vis shavavina, according to the name of Shalim, is more of a brachas a shevach. So in brachas a Torah, I understand bracha 1 and 3, but I don't quite understand bracha 2, the harivna. It's a very, very wonderful thing. The harivna Hashem lokeinu, the b'vis shavavina, b'finu. We ask the Rabban Shalom that it should be harivna, arevos, means it should be enjoyable, it should be sweet, it should be pleasant. It's a very wonderful thing. When we put on tefillin in the morning, we don't ask for that. When we sit in the sukh, we don't ask for that. We light chanukah candles, read the Megillah, we don't ask for that. We just do the mitzvah. It's a big deal. What can you just say? What's wrong with Asher Kiddushanu Lasik de Visara? Open up a Chumash and learn. Asher Kiddushanu Lasik de Visara and open up Masechet Sanhedrin and learn a Taisus. What's like the Harivna? Why is the Harivna part of the Bracha? So the Harivna, this is a reflection of the idea that Yevlei Tal develops, that the Harivna is not something which is tangential to Limud HaTorah. It just happens to be I'm learning. So some people are learning happy, some people are learning sad. No. If you're learning Seat, so there's a chisaron in the mitzvah. That's an etzem chisaron in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So there's no question, both from the psukim, from the Mar Chazal, from the Nuscha Brachas, that the enjoyment is an integral part, and that's why it's not surprising that the bracha of Ava Rabba is the Birchas HaTorah. Also, the Lashon Ava, we don't just say Baruch Hashem for giving us the chance to learn Torah, but we describe it in terms of endearment, in terms of love. Terms that are associated with very happy, joyful types of emotions. Avarab, Chemla, Gadol, Veseir, Chamal, Aleinu, Avaracham, and Rav. Those are the shonos of tremendous Ava, tremendous positive emotions. Those are the types of emotions that go into Limud HaTorah. So Limud HaTorah clearly is the first of the three that our world, each personal world, stands upon. And we find that it's not just a pillar of our of Eretz Hashem. It's just kind of there, it's kind of present, but it has to be there with the simcha of love and simcha as well. The second of the pillars that hold up the world and our own world is avodah. So avodah here, some people think that avodah here means going to work. Going to work is an important thing to get a parnosa. That's not what Chazal meant when they said avodah. Here avodah obviously was referring to avodah sat karbonos. And in place of Avodah Sakavanos, so you have Avodah Shebalev. That the term Avodah has different meanings, but it all basically revolves around a person, a direct conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How a person relates directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person is learning Torah, so a person has learned the Dvar Hashem, that's true, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you in a sense. But Avodah is when I'm Oved Hashem, like I'm servant, I'm coming to the Master, and what does the Master want of me? What can I do to serve the Master? That's what Avodah is. So when I bring a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm bringing as a servant a gift to the Adam. When a person davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so he's presenting himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's Avodah Shebalev. He's subjugating his essence, his ritzoinus, his words and his thoughts and his feelings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all including Avodah. Avodah not only refers to Avodah Sakabanas and Avodah Tefillah, but it refers to all the brachas that we recite during the course of the day. It refers to all the mitzvahs that we perform during the course of the day. Those are all part of our Avodah Hashem, that when we put our tefillin on, so we're coming as an ever to the Adon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we recite Kiddush on Friday night, we're declaring ourselves our allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're sitting by the eating a matzah and being the Sapat Yis Mitzrayim, so those are all acts of Avodah Hashem. So these all fall under what we would call, in one fell swoop, we would call almost Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Or Shmiras HaMitzvahs, at least with Adon HaMakom. That's the second of the pillars of Avodah Hashem. So what's our emotional take when we approach Avodah? What is our Avodah supposed to look like? So here also, it doesn't take that far to go. Just look at the Mamar Chazal on the Pasuk of Tachas Hashem Avadatos Hashem Lekech B'Simcha V'Tuv Leivav. So Chazal said that Pasuk is referring first and foremost to Avodah Sakarbanos. that this is the source that Ben Erichin says that when you bring Karbanos, you have to have a Shiras Halavim. You have to sing when you bring a Korban. It's not enough to bring a Korban. It has to be accompanied by music, by instruments, by a celebration, because Avodas Hashem of Tefillah, of Karbanos, of Mitzvahs, if it's lacking that Shiras with Tishbach, if it's lacking that feeling, that excitement, that joy, so then that's not Avodas Hashem. That's a very, very, imagine the servant who comes to the master with a down face. The servant who comes not happy, not excited, not full of pride and joy for having the opportunity to serve such a master. So that's a chisaron in the etzem avodah itself. So the avodas hakarbanos, the avodas hatefilah, avodas hamitzvahs, and everything. So simcha is an integral part of that avodah as well. The third of the pillars is the gemilas chasadim, because gemilas chasadim is our entire relationship in adam lechaveray. That's the third pillar of our entire ilum. And the question becomes, what is our gemilas chasadim supposed to look like? How are we supposed to feel like when we perform acts of gemilas chasadim? What role does simcha have in the mitzvah of gemilas chasadim? So the Rambam in Hilchos Avil quotes from the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who counted all the different mitzvahs of gemilas chasadim a separate independent mitzvahs. The Bahag says is one of the Tanya mitzvahs is to be Mevakeh Chayla, one's to be Menachem Avim, one's to be Mesameh Chasam Kala. So the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says all those are true and they're all important, but none of them count as the Tanya mitzvahs because they're all part of one big mitzvah. What's the one big mitzvah? Behafta Recha Kamecha. The Rambam says that the Rebbe Shalom told Meshur Ben Behafta Recha Kamecha, and then obviously the Chachamim understood that, well, how do you do that? How do you express your love for somebody else? So you express your love. The same way you love yourself. It means you would like someone to dance at your wedding, and you want someone to visit you if you're sick, and you want someone to help you out if you need help. So whatever you would like to be done to yourself, you should do to somebody else as well. So all of the mitzvahs of the Nam Lechaveiro are all find their sources in V'yadcha Kamoicha. So if you think about it, according to the Rambam, why is it that the Torah chose to lump all the mitzvahs of the Nam Lechaveiro in that one all-encompassing phrase, V'yahafta? Why did the Torah say "Vedav Hashem Moshelim"? Be mevakeh cholim, be menachem avim. To answer the chasanas would have made it much easier for us to understand. What do we have to save your half lechem kamoicha and then try to figure out what that means? So the reason is because the very essence of the mitzvahs on the chavero are different than other mitzvahs. It's not that. There's like almost like a ma'aseh mitzvah. When it comes to chilas matzah, there's a very specific ma'aseh mitzvah chilas matzah. There's a mitzvah of chastfil. There's a mitzvah Shabbos called Shaif, the mitzvah of the Tilas Lulav. When it comes to mitzvahs of Chesed, so it's not that Vaydav Shem Mashalaymar, go be Vavachi Choyla. So imagine the following: someone's in the hospital, and I really don't want to visit the person. I really don't. I don't care about the person's Loch Patli, he's alive, he's dead, it doesn't interest me. But it says that on February, what's the day? March 10th. March 10th, 10 to 2. So this man ha'yoyim is, I gotta be Vavachi Choyla. Okay, good. So the same way it says, "Be'erev tochel matzah, tochel eat matzah." Then you go be mivakeh cholim. So go with a zah face, and I say, "Okay, hini mucham zum." I walk as a hini mucham zum, and l'shayim mitzvah speak cholim. Asher k'dishar mitzvah levakar is a cholim. How are you? You're feeling great. You're alive. You're well. Good. Mazdok. See you when next week. I'll come to be menachem avot. Whatever. You know that's hopefully not to the same person. So that's obviously not the mitzvah of bikkur cholim. That's why the Torah put it into the phraseology of Yahafta, because the Torah wants that it should be a mitzvah mitech halev. It should be a mitzvah that carries with it a simchas halev, that carries with it a connection of our hearts, because it's a different type of a mitzvah. The Baruch Hashem wants us to become what we call oyevei chesed. The Chafetz Chaim points out in the pasuk in Navi, it says, now what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want from us? He himself mishpat yavas chesed. He wants us to do acts of a mishpat, of justice, and to love chesed. The Chavetz Chaim said that what's the difference between asos mishpat and avas chesed? How come mishpat is referred to as doing and chesed is referred to as loving? The Chavetz Chaim said that when it comes to mishpat, there's no great reason to love mishpat. You don't really have to love doing mishpat. I mean, we love learning mishpat, we learn Sanhedrin, but the Beisdin, the Dayan that are sitting on the case and trying to figure out whether Reuven's ox good, Shimon's ox not, the Dayan don't have to love what they're doing. Mishpat has to happen. If you don't have mishpat, then you have anarchy in the world. So asos mishpat, everyone has to be involved in asos mishpat. When it comes to chesed, it would be terrible, says the Chafetz Chaim, if people's approach to chesed would be like their approach to mishpat. So if a person says, well, I have to be, I've got to go to the wedding, I've got to go to this, I've got to do that, I don't really want to do it, So that would be a terrible flaw in a chesed. That would be a sias chesed. That's not what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to be oyave chesed, not just oyave chesed. Chesed, a person has to conjure up also that simcha. A person has to be able to do chesed mitach simcha saleif. Otherwise, the chison and the etzem ha-chesed itself. So you find all three of these components that really, if you think about it, every act of Avodas Hashem that we're involved in during the course of the day, no matter what you're doing. So when you get up in the morning, you're davening, so you're doing Avodah. When you're coming to Seder, so then you're involved in Torah. When you're helping your friend out with something during lunch, so you're doing chesed. Throughout the day, throughout our lives, everything that we're doing in terms of anything that's related to Torah mitzvahs will always fall themselves into one of these three categories. And each one of these categories, we find that it's not enough just to, in theory, you know, almost as a general blanket statement to be happy. But the limud Torah has to be mitach simcha. The avodas ha-mitzvahs, ha-kabbalas, ha-tefillah has to be mitach simcha. And the chesed has to be mitach simcha as well. But I think there are three important lessons that each one of these different aspects of our avodas Hashem have to teach us a little bit about what simcha is, and perhaps a little bit of an emphasis on what simcha is not. The term simcha, you know, usually translated as happiness, joy, is something which is so foreign in America. It's such a foreign concept in the world that we live in today. So some people probably think to me, what did I just say? Simcha is a foreign concept in today's world. Forget, people, the whole world runs around simcha. Everything, the entire economy runs around simcha. The entire advertising works, everything is around simcha. What do we see? We see advertisements for what? Advertisements for this thing which makes you happy, and that thing that makes you happy, and this thing that makes you happy. You go on this vacation makes you happy, and you go to this hotel makes you happy, and you drive this car, everything is to make everybody happy. You watch this event makes you happy, and you go to this amusement, but everything is for amusement and fun and recreation. So we're really, really into a world of simcha. We're very machmer in our world. The entire year marvim simcha. That's not true, because not one of those things that I mentioned has any connection to simcha. They don't have any connection to the halachic, to the Torah's concept of what simcha is. What I just described before is a lot of fun. We're very, very machmir in America to make sure people have fun. We're very, very less machmir that people are actually happy. There's a big difference between happiness and fun. So if we had to be magdir those two terms, happiness and fun, so I think that that a good way of describing it is ultimately just how short-term and how long-term are these emotions. Fun is a very, very limited in scope. You go to a place and you have fun. I'm going, have a day off today. We're going to go out and have a fun time. We're going to have a happy time. No, we're going to have a fun time. So you go to an amusement park. So when you're going down the roller coaster, you're having a fun time. Are you happy? So happiness means something that's that carries with you even way past the particulars of that event to take place. Happiness is that contentment, that fulfillment, that feeling, those general, you know, those good feelings that you feel that your life is in order, that you're at peace with yourself. Those whole picture of simple happiness, usually no connection living and dead to fun. Again, very often the opposite is true. Very often, because a person is not happy, so he's searching for happiness, so he'll go and substitute the happiness for the very temporary, thrill of a few seconds. Sometimes it's rules a few seconds, sometimes it's rules a few days, sometimes it's a week of vacation, but sometimes it could be a person can spend the whole year having fun, but the happiness, the simcha, we associate with simcha saleiv is very, very much lacking. So what is necessary for a person to experience simcha? We don't really want fun, we really want simcha. What are the prerequisites to accomplish simcha? So if you look at the three parts of Avodas Hashem that we spoke about before, each one of them, I think, gives us a certain insight as to how to really attain really simcha in this world. And they are counterintuitive, but they're only counterintuitive because we had a certain mistaken, equation on the board. I'm not going to bother using the market to draw that equation, but we thought that fun means simcha, so then we don't understand why the following statements are true. All you have to do is change that equation, and then everything fits into play. So the experience of Talmud Torah, as we ask most people, is Talmud Torah, is it a type of an experience that should really bring simcha to you? Or, to mistakenly translate it, is something that could, quote-unquote, really be a fun experience? So it depends what you think Talmud Torah is. So if you think Talmud Torah is just, kind of asking a fun question, giving a fun answer, having a great time, so then, it could potentially be fun. But that's not really Tamat Torah. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Atikra Choros Lecheiros Incha Ben Chorin Lamishas Torah. So what does it mean Incha Ben Chorin Lamishas Torah? Torah is an unbelievable avdus. It's the greatest level of avdus. Because it's the greatest avdus, that's why Tachav really the Emes Lecheiros, as we said a few weeks ago on Thursday. Real Torah, real Tamat Torah is what Chazal described. Ein Lecha, you know, Adam Kiyomus Ba'oel. Ein Diver Torah Nikim El Mishan Meimis Atzmalah. It means Mesivus Nefesh, it means working hard. Talmud Torah is a rigorous experience. Talmud Torah is something one cannot be kind of Torah properly, putting their feet back, you know, just sitting around relaxing, walking in at 9:45 and 3 minutes measure with a cup of coffee, at 9:55 already taking a walk around, at 10:15 answering the phone, and Kahena V'Kahena, and then in between reading a half a line of Tosis. That's not Talmud Torah. I mean, that's nice, better than nothing, but that's not really Talmud Torah. You know what Talmud Torah means? Talmud Torah means I'm sitting and breaking my head over this Taisus. Taisus is the Kasha. I don't understand the Kasha. And I don't understand the Teretz. And what does this Teretz mean? What does this Teretz mean? And it all gives you a pshat. And then I look at the Balamor as a different. It's a long, long Ramban. It's so long I can't even begin to read it because I don't have the attention span to read anything more than three seconds. Bizman is a person to really, really think and to work through a Sugya, to work through a Taisus, to work through a Gemara, to work through something. That's sweat. That's hard work. Since when is hard work associated with fun? The answer is it's not. But hard work is associated with joy. And everybody knows this, even after Torah. Everybody knows the things that a person really, really enjoys in life are the things that a person really, really works on. That, as the lingo goes, something like no pain, no gain. So the more a person works on something, the more mola there is, the more great simcha there's going to be. So the first lesson that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah teaches us about simcha is that if you think that there's a shortcut to simcha, then you're going down the wrong route. That any simcha that comes about through some chick-chock, you know, a fast high or something, says exactly what it is, the fast high, which is going to be followed by a serious low. That real true simcha is something that takes work, something that takes time, something that takes growing with, takes an amola in order to reach a state of simcha. That's the first prerequisite for a simcha. Then there's another important lesson of simcha that comes mitoch avodah. And here is also something that unfortunately, tragedy has been lost in our world. I say in our world really in the last several decades, not all that long ago. That was the notion of mora, the notion of pacha, the notion of yira. So in today's world, so the idea of reverence, the idea of respect, the idea of you know, authority, all of the above, has melted by the wayside. But Ava Bichain in Halacha, in Torah observance, so Mora is a major component. There's a mitzvah first and foremost of Yiras Shemayim. There's a mitzvah of Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Chayim. There's a mitzvah of Yipachad in a good way, in a healthy way. I'm not talking about a person who is neurotic and I'm talking about a positive, healthy sense of Mora, a sense of who I am, who the Ribbono Shel Olam is, a sense of my role, what I can do, what I can't do, a sense of, whoa, taking a step back, like reverence for something greater than me. That's a good, positive, healthy thing in Torah. You find so many relationships in the Torah are governed by the mitzvah of Yira. There's Yira in terms of Yira for a parent, Yishima V'yav Tiro, the modern concept of parents and children being pals and friends and chummy chummies. That's not at all a Torah concept. There should be tremendous ava, there should be tremendous respect, there should be tremendous love. Of course, that's part of the Torah. But there's also the dimension of mora. The dimension of a relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud is also a relationship with mora. So that idea that, a Rebbe is probably loud, everything is chummy chummy and everything slaps on the backs and hey, Rebs, that kind of, that's not a Torah philosophy at all. That's crept in from the outside world of, there is no hierarchy, there's no authority. That's not like a Rav Shul. It's supposed to be a Rav Shul. Doesn't mean he doesn't talk to Balabatim, doesn't mean he doesn't interact, doesn't mean he can't crack a joke with Balaban. But a Rav is a Rav. A Rav is not supposed to be playing ping pong all day with all the Balaban. It's not a Rav. So we have to be very, very careful about that. Those are going to go someday into Rabbanus. So there's a Rav and there's a Rebbe, and there's a Tamil Chachamim. Then there are places that are designated as places of Mora. We live a very, very chilled existence. Everything, that's so simple. A person comes into a shul is a mikdash ma'at, it's a mitzvah of Mora. There's a mikdashi tiro, there's a mitzvah of Mora ha-mikdash, there's a mitzvah of Mora besa knesses, and the Mora besa medrash. The besa medrash is a certain makom of Mora to it. we have a little small base of Medrash over here. So this is, you know, for the few hours a day that we're spending this time, so it doesn't have Kedushas base of Medrash in the full sense of the word. Talmud Torah is an experience that warrants the proper decorum, that warrants the proper Maira. So you have to think 100 times before you do certain things in the context of a base medrash, before you do certain things in the context of a shiur room, in the context of a shiur in general, when the rabbi's speaking in shul, and when the davening going on shul. These are serious, serious things. That we live in a world that, you know, everything's after values. You know, do what you want, do when you want, what you want, eat when you want, talk on the phone when you want. You know, I was at a few months ago, I went to, I remember I was in Washington for one day at the end of the year. They took me for one of the, what was the APAC, one of the missions. They brought me to Washington. So one of the things that I was startled at, we were talking to one of the congressmen, senators, the place we were talking to, and there was somebody sitting who was, they were on their phone, their texting, whatever, and looking at an email saying, and the congressman was speaking. Now again, not that the congressman is Levavos Tamid Chachamim, but Abu Bichain, like a person of authority, a person of dignity, a person of respect. Somebody speaking that warrants respect, and somebody sitting and texting at the same time. Lo Yitachain Davar Kazetz. Lo Yuman Kisubar. Sometimes it's Mamish Mambachis. Baruch Hashem, I don't have it in my shul, because most of my shul are given shul on Shabbos. Nobody sitting in the shul and on their phone. I hope not. At least they don't talk to the phones. But it's lo yuman kisubar that a person speaking. Anybody gets up to speak. I yell at my kids guys all the time. If the person gets up to speak and somebody else is not that my kids are on the phone, but have phones, the other words. But when a person is speaking, so someone's on the phone, someone's texting at the same time. So pashut mora, pashut. Just basic dignity and respect. It's just not right. Anyway, so the idea of Mora, the idea that we, particularly when we being Oved Hashem, so we're doing it mitoch Mora. So Avodas HaKabonis for sure is that Kabonis are brought in the place of Mora in the world. And davening and every Hezbollah around the shul is all revolving around those feelings of Mora. First recites Bracha. L'yiras Hashem HaGadol, the person is Motzishim Shemayim Levatola, it's a violation of L'yiras Hashem HaGadol, Hashem L'kechatira, is Motzishim Shemayim Levatola. When our Avodas Hashem becomes something of a very lackadaisical, very disrespectful type of Avodas Hashem, so that's a big, big problem. And so one would think that this whole image that I'm painting of how Avodas Hashem has to be mitoch mora, that would be a very depressing feel. People would think, oh my goodness, the rabbi is saying you have to be stiff and you have to be, you know, scared of everything and you're frightened by everything. How could you possibly have enjoyment? So that's exactly part of the Western culture, that you're right. It's hard to have fun to be scared, to be in awe at the same time. But you can have tremendous simcha and be in tremendous murder at the same time. But you're right, Bush and Latruva. Some of you are married already, some of you are getting married soon. So that's your everyone's going to get married at some point. So I can guarantee you that the happiest day of your life, Yom Chasinos, Yom Simchas, will be the day of your chasana. I can also guarantee you it's going to be the most awesome day of your life also. Awesome in the sense of, it's pachad. I don't mean pachad because you're afraid you're making a wrong decision. And you should deal with that beforehand. But I'm talking about just pachad because it's like Ema Gadola. It is talking Ema Gadola. So you're standing under the chuppah and someone would pinch you and say, so tell me, Chasin, what are you? Are you in a tremendous state of simcha? Absolutely. Are you in a tremendous sense of like awe of the moment? Absolutely. So why is it not a stira? It's not a stira. That was never kasha to start with. If you're going to tell me that having a great time on vacation, you tell a guy, you have a vacation, you're in the pool, you know, you got up at 11 o'clock this morning, you know, you're having a barbecue by the poolside, you're in your flip-flops, you're having a great time, and you should also have fun and have murder at the same time, say, come on, that's impossible. Right, it's not impossible. But to have simple and murder at the same time, it's not a steer, but well, forget, the two breathe each other, the two work together, they complement each other. So, avoda, the simcha, Shema Avedis HaKabana, Simcha Shema Avedis HaMikdash, Simcha Shema Avedis HaTfilah, teaches us another important component of simcha, that to reach a level of simcha, it has to be a level of Mayra, breed simcha. True Mayra, true Yerushimayim, is a way to enable us to reach simcha, not a way to detract from the simcha. And the third dimension of simcha is also somewhat counterintuitive, and that's learned from the world of Gemilas HaSadim. The Rambam writes, that when he discussed the Simchas Yomtiv and Simchas Purim. So the greatest expression of Simcha on Yomtiv and Purim is to share with others. The Ram says that just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares with others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to everybody, so too our greatest way for us to celebrate Simcha is to give to others. So I don't understand that. I understand where that's Tadach, and I understand where that's Chesed, but why is that Simcha? Ram says that if a person doesn't share with others on Yomtiv and Purim, he hasn't fulfilled Simcha's Yomtiv properly. Why haven't I fulfilled Simcha's Yomtiv properly? You can't blame the Ram. It's a pasuk in Chumash. It says Bincha Bitcha, and then it says Vagir Vayasav Yamana. You have to be Mesameach others as well. So, why does that mean? Why is that true? That in order for you to experience Simcha, you have to be Mesameach others. So the answer is the same. You said that if Simcha is not a fun, so why do we have to give fun to other people? I'm not having fun. That's not what Simcha is. Simcha is a Simcha Saleiv. It's inconceivable that a person should reach Simchas Halev without sharing that Simchas with others. We all know this. We know this from our own personal experiences. Think back at the time when you felt you did a wonderful chesed. You really went to the hospital and you really, really cheered somebody up. You really, really helped somebody out. You really, really did a tremendous chesed. How do you feel about it? You feel very good about it. You're right. You're supposed to feel good about it. That shows that it's not a Simchas Halev. It's not just fun. It's a real Simchas Halev. So you have three components of Simcha. I would have thought that all of these, this is a Simcha, I would have thought these detract from my Simcha. I would have thought that hard work, I would have thought that awe and reverence and respect, I would have thought that sharing with others, these are things that make life miserable for me. Why should I be happy when I'm working hard? Why should I be happy if I'm scared? Why should I be happy if somebody else is getting something good? These are all things that would take away from my joy. And fakir comes the Torah and says, no, not only do these things not take away, these are the prerequisites. These are the things that are in place. This is what's required for a person to experience Simcha properly. So I think when we embark upon this time of the year, Mashiach is the Ma'am Simcha, it's time to take to heart some of these things, some of these important lessons. Okay, the more we're Amol Shel Torah, the more we sweat, the more we work hard in Limud HaTorah, the more we build up our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu of Yerushalayim, of Mora, of respect, of authority, of understanding, of reverence for those things that are important in the world. And the more that we're able to share with others, a combination of these three factors will do wonders for us in terms of our own personal simcha. We should be zeich for us and all Klai Yisrael. We should talk to be days if you may stop. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll take a little time to chill out afterwards, a few extra minutes. Okay, relax, have a fun.